7-8 months of me being 18, I found myself in about $15,000 of credit card debt, $10,000 in furniture debt. And it was all because I was like, I really wanted to impress everyone around me.
You can admit, and I know I can today, that I was spending money I didn't have.
Yes, sir.
To impress people.
Yes, sir.
That didn't care.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And found myself in a situation that was hard for me to get out of.
I lost my job. I lost my apartment. So where does that send me? I went and put all my stuff in the back of my car, went to a Walmart parking lot, and I slept there for about 6 weeks of my life.
I believe in a God that can deliver you from lack. I believe in a God that can deliver from insufficiency. And I believe in a God that can deliver from debt. Welcome, 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 welcome. Hello, I'm Creflo Dollar, and welcome to your world. You know, many people are basically just one blown tire away from financial disaster. Now, can you relate? If you're living paycheck to paycheck with a mountain of debt, you're definitely not alone. A recent study shows that 8 out of every 10 Americans are in serious debt, upside down on their mortgage and far behind on their car payments. Or perhaps you're in such a tight squeeze that one little thing goes wrong, man, like losing your job or getting sick, you might find yourself in a situation of debt and trying to figure out how in the world am I going to get out of this? Listen, that's not God's best for anyone. Today, we're going to break this vicious cycle of being broken, never having enough to make ends meet. So call a friend, call a loved one, and tell them to tune in. This is a show you absolutely don't want to miss. Getting Out of Debt, next on Your World. Welcome back. I'd like you to meet Lakeisha, who knows all too well the pressures of financial debt. Lakeisha is a single mother, working 3 jobs, living paycheck to paycheck, and has amassed $30,000 of debt with no hope of relief. Now, you may be in a similar situation today. So together, we're going to talk through her options and yours to get out of this situation and build a future for her and her family. Lakeisha, welcome to your world. So glad to have you here with us today. I grew up in the ghetto of College Park in a 2-bedroom, I don't even know what you call that house, made out of cement blocks. And I absolutely had no idea that there was any way to get out of that situation and later on learn how to do that. So this is going to be an awesome time today. Let's start off with this question. When you were growing up, do you recall your knowledge of how to handle money? Did you have the knowledge of how to handle budgets and so forth when you were growing up, somebody teaching you? How was that when you were growing up?
No, I've been working since 13 years old, working but not knowing how to save or to budget just to, you know, get what I need.
Yeah. What type of jobs did you have throughout the
process? I started off working retail, restaurant, like Wendy's and clothing stores. Mm-hmm.
And if I understand correctly, even today you have 3 different types of jobs,
yes.
Right?
I'm an assistant teacher in 3rd grade autism. I drive Uber when I can, and I'm a natural hairstylist. I do locks.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so you've never had a problem getting jobs, or so you've always been able to get jobs?
Yes.
So the real issue was how to manage your money.
Right.
So in your life, what are the consequences of not having those instructions?
working just to pay bills, basically.
And that's no fun, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Especially not as hard as I work now.
Yeah. And so you have a four-year-old son?
Yes, a four-year-old son.
And I'm sure working as much as you do, I mean, if you're not at school, you know, you're driving Uber. If you're not driving Uber, then you're
here. He's
working
with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't believe, you know, as a Christian, I don't believe that's abundant life. I don't believe that's God's intent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that's the will of the Father for us to have to do that.
No.
So with your four-year-old son, I'm sure there are times where you get frustrated because the time that you don't have,
mm-hmm.
and even the finances.
All the time.
Can you talk to us about that? How this has affected your relationship with your son?
It frustrates me because it's something as simple as putting him in football, basketball is unrealistic right now because of money that goes towards bills and time. Like by the time I go to work or do hair or Uber, I'm tired. So I don't have enough time for my son.
Mm. And does that create the guilt and sometimes the shame?
It does. Yeah. A lot of time. Because if I don't have him, he has to go to his grandmother or his godmother. And I often send him with them so he can have somewhat of a childhood.
And how does that make you feel?
It's very frustrating. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
What's your living situation like right now?
Well, I just had to move recently. In July, I came home from vacation and my roommate gave me a 30-day notice. So the last month and a half has been rough, but I found another roommate. But I hope soon that I will be able to have my own place so he can have his own room. He's never had his own room. He still sleeps in the bed with me.
So you couldn't go and apply for another apartment now?
No, because I have the credit on my debt.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. About $8,000.
Yeah, so the credit's got to be cleared up first.
Yep.
Before you can even get an apartment.
If I decided to move to an apartment that I could get, it would be in a neighborhood that I don't want to raise my son.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible for me to get an apartment, but those areas is not a good environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The emotional stress and frustration that you carry, would it be safe to say every day?
Yeah.
And you have some good days where you can smile, but you have to return right back to dealing with the issue of not enough.
Yes.
Lacking financially. What am I going to do next? And the reason why I'm asking you these series of questions is because I've spent, you know, nearly 30 years trying to convince people that it is not God's will for us to have to live in lack and live without. And in church, you know, healing and that's great, and deliverance and that's great. But I believe in a God that can deliver you from lack. I believe in a God that can deliver from insufficiency. And I believe in a God that can deliver from debt. And so as we talk about this a little bit more, what's your plan? Do you have a plan?
I had a plan. But since the 30-day notice came, I had to scramble to figure out, you know, I had to place it on hold, basically.
Yeah. Audience, can anybody relate with her story? Yes. I mean, would it be safe to say that everybody can relate to her story?
Yes.
And yet, as parents, I think we've got to take it more serious when it comes to educating our children in the area of dealing with finances, because you don't want your child to be out there suffering, full of stress, depression, all those kind of things that are open because they just don't know how to deal with finances. So I want to share, I've got a guest that's going to come and join us today, but I want to share some things. I like talking about the common sense realm of money management. And this is something that I teach my girls. I told my sons the same thing, but I told each of my girls specifically. I said, when you decide to get your place and get your own stuff and car and so forth, you don't want to try to make your living off of 100% of what you earn. You want to live based on 80% of what you earn. So, you know, if I have $100, I'm not going to live off $100. I'm going to live off $80. And then I'm going to take the next $10. I'm going to honor God with it. And then I'm going to take the next 10, watch this, and I'm going to pay myself. People are always talking about, you know, I can't afford to save. I can't afford to pay myself. That's because they've made their living based on 100% of what they've earned. Now, think about what I'm saying.
It makes sense.
If you can make your living based on 80%, so you're going out looking for a place, you know, you're looking for a car, you're looking for all of these things, you got to buy groceries, you've got to buy gas. In other words, now that the need for the budget comes in,
mm-hmm.
and the budget is not just the gas and the electric bill and the car. The budget is every expenditure that I'm going to be releasing in order to make my life or my living that I'm going to include on that. And then I'm going to look and see where I can save and cut from that budget. But if that comes up to 100% of my income, I've got to make some changes until I can get it down to 80% of my income. And that's when you begin to think about, okay, so I can't live over there. They're really, really bad. But maybe I can live over here. Can't do that car, but maybe I can work out a deal to do that car because the payments are going to be less and that falls within the 80% of what I'm going to be putting out to make that happen. I think what people fail to realize is that if you can learn how to pay yourself and you look up one day, you've got money that you didn't know was there. And I did something called automatic payment.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do so I wouldn't see it is I would take my check, stick it in a situation. 80% of it would go out. That's what I pay my bills and live off of. I take 10% automatically deposited into that savings account. And then I'd have the other 10% ready to write my check and to honor God with it. I looked up one day and I had enough money saved to do things that I didn't know. But I encourage people, if you can only pay yourself $2, pay yourself something, because that's the opportunity to use that to finance dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. You're not always going to be in the situation you're in, but you've got to start with a strategy. And even Satan has a strategy to try to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need strategy to come out of our situation. And every day you wake up, you say, this is one day less that I'm going to have to live in this situation.
Yeah.
You start countdown, you know, it's yes. One day less that I'm living in this situation. Hey, look, we want to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a pretty amazing guest that will not only share with us his testimony of all the things he had to go through. He's going to provide some help for Lakeisha today. And we're going to see what the end is going to be. We'll be right back.
Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. For more information, visit us online at CrefloDollarMinistries.org.
Welcome back. Now, how many of you watching and how many of you in the audience have that burden of debt on your shoulders? So it's not uncommon, right? It's something that a lot of people around the world carry on their shoulders. Now, my next guest found himself nearly $20,000 in debt and had ended up homeless and sleeping in his car in a parking lot. We're about to find out what he did to get out of his situation and how he has managed to stay out of debt. Please help me welcome to the show, Anthony O'Neill. Anthony, welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here with us today. I really want Lakeisha and our audience and those who are watching today to really know where you were.
Yes, sir.
Before we talk about what you do today and hear from you, tell us about that journey into debt and that journey out, and then all of the things that happen as a result of it.
You know, when I was listening to Lakeisha's story, Lakeisha, your story is so touching to me, because really I found myself graduating high school, great parents, but they really didn't teach me how and really about finances. I was in church Monday through Sunday, every single day. And I didn't really understand the importance of finance. So I remember walking on the college campus the very first day, I see nothing but beautiful ladies. So I'm getting excited. I'm like, hey, it's a lot of y'all. I need a lot of money. And I applied for my first credit card, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just told, like, hey, just get a credit card. So I was like, cool. So I got the credit card about a month later, and my mother called me. I have a true mother. She said, baby, you got some mail. Come on home. So I go home. She hands me the envelope, Dr. Dollar, and the envelope was open. And she's asking me, well, what is it? And I'm like, you already know what it is, Mom. But to make a long story short, the credit card, it was a credit card. It was my first credit card that I've ever received. So I'm like, yes, I'm going in. But my mother was like, son, you don't need that credit card. So I politely, I thought I politely reminded my mother that I'm a grown man and to mind your business. So since we're on your show, I won't say what happened after I told her that.
I already know. I already know.
but as I got up off the ground, yeah. I went in my car and I called my young lady at the time. And I said, baby girl, I got some money. And she said, well, how much you got? I said, it's none of your business. I said, but where you want to go to dinner? And so she said, I want to go to Red Lobster. So I took her to Red Lobster. So within a matter of me having, within 1 hour of having that credit card, I spent $150 at Red Lobster.
Wow.
And so y'all know back in the days, Red Lobster was like going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse today. You wanted to be there. And so I said, okay, cool. So the next day I wanted to send her some flowers. So I sent her 2 dozens of red roses, 2 boxes of chocolate. Now I was going to send her another one, but I'm already black. So that's all she needed. I was the third one. And
check him out, guys.
And so, you know, that was one thing that led to another. That's another $150. And so then my friends were sitting next to me when I sent her the flowers. And it was like, you really want to impress her? I was like, psh. Yeah, Doc. I was like, go get her a purse. I was like, bet. I'll go to Walmart, get her like a $5.99 purse. And they was like, no, Doc. You really want to put impression on her, go to Dillard's and buy her this DB purse, Dune and Burks. I was like, Dune and Burks. So I get over to Dillard's. That's $200. Mm-hmm. Within a matter of 18 hours of having a card, I've already spent $500 on the credit card. My credit card balance, Dr. Dollar, $500. Maxed out.
Wow.
So I paid the little $5, the little $10 payment. So I'm like, man, this is easy. $10 for $500, boom. And I got a credit card statement in the mail the next month and said, hey, thank you for your payment on time. We see you can use another $500. Mm-hmm. And so we've upped your balance from $500 to $1,000. I was like a little kid in the candy store. I got excited. I went and put a $500 sound system in the back of a black-on-black 1987 Nissan Maxima, and the car couldn't even go into reverse.
Wow.
So I'm sitting here sounding good moving forward, but not looking good when I have to go in reverse.
Yeah, that's good. Did you get that? Yeah, that's good.
And so, you know, that was $1,000. Mm-hmm. Before I even turned, within like 7-8 months of me being 18, I found myself in about $15,000 of credit card debt, $10,000 in furniture debt. And it was all because I was like, I really wanted to impress everyone around me. I wanted to have the feeling on the inside that, hey, if I'm doing this for her, if I'm sounding like this, if I'm looking like this, if I have on the latest Jordans, if I have on this, everyone would accept me. So I really went out there and just put everything that I could on credit and finance it.
So you can admit, and I know I can today, that I was spending money I didn't have.
Yes, sir.
To impress people.
Yes, sir.
That didn't care.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And found myself in a situation
yeah.
that was hard for me to get out of.
Yes, sir. Very hard for me to get out of. Yeah. It got so hard for me to get out of because I got kicked out of school. When I got kicked out of school, I lost a job that was connected to my school. Mm-hmm. So when I lost my job, I lost my apartment. So where does that send me? I'm going home. And I'm pretty sure as a father, you would say the same thing. I went home. Mother said, come home. But father was like, no. He just told us he's a grown man. And a grown man is going to learn to handle his own responsibilities. He's not coming home. So my father said, no, I had to leave. I went and put all my stuff in the back of my car, went to a Walmart parking lot, and I slept there for about 6 weeks of my life. And that's when everything went rock bottom for me.
Wow. So what was the turning point? And I imagine it hit pretty hard.
Hard.
I mean, you wake up in the car, you're washing in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you turn it around?
I had to really look at myself in the mirror and be comfortable with myself. Mm-hmm. That's when things shifted for me. Mm-hmm. I realized that I am in this place because of me. What shifted for me was my father knew where I was the entire time. So not only was I at my lowest, but I was also naked in my car washing myself. So God took me to my lowest and stripped me of everything. And for me, that was spiritual. God was saying, I'm going to strip you of everything so you can really get to know you and see you and move forward. And so what I did to really get out of debt, because today I'm 32 years old and I owe no man nothing, mm-hmm. completely nothing. Yeah. And what started that, and I hear your story, and what I had to really do is I had to go home and I had to sit down and write a vision for my life. Where am I going? And then I had to make sure that everything that I'm doing is congruent with that vision. So that's my budget, that's my spending, that's everything. So if it's not congruent with where my vision is, where God is taking me, I'm not going for it. And so I've had to learn to say no to myself today so that tomorrow I can have the greatest feeling. And I hear young people say, I want the latest and the greatest. Well, I have this new statement that I say, I'm going to sacrifice the latest today so that tomorrow I can have the greatest.
Absolutely.
And because that's huge to me. That's really what happened to me. I had to really make sure I had a vision, and everything has to be in line with that vision of where I'm going. So I'm very big on budgeting.
That's good.
I'm very big on budgeting. As I travel the country today, millennials are like, what is budgeting? And that is one thing that I would suggest to every millennial. Spend your money on paper with a purpose. And so I budget every single day. I look at my budget before I look at my bank account. Because my budget is going to tell me what I can spend. My bank account is going to tell me the money of where it's going. I'm telling my money where it's going. My money's not telling me where it's going.
Mm-hmm. You've got this commitment to millennials.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about what you're doing and some of the encounters that you've had. Just really, what are you dealing with today? We heard you told us that your family never taught you anything about finances.
Right.
Would that be true with most millennials?
Absolutely. I think it's very true, and it's very common that we're not really teaching, not just millennials, but high school students. I have a huge heart for high school students. Currently, I'm serving on the speakers team and personality team for Dave Ramsey. And so I literally, every single week, I'm traveling around the country in some college, in some high school, at a youth conference, or preaching on Sunday mornings for churches, really helping them teach young people about money. And the reason being is because before I joined the team, I served as an associate pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, at a mega church out there. Grew it from 25 to 2,000 students. And here's the thing. We just didn't focus just on godly principles. We also focus on money principles. And so I taught young people what is the difference between a credit card and a debit card, how to save, how to invest, which is so important that I believe every youth pastor needs to be doing, because they're not getting it in school as they should. And some of them are not getting it at home. And so that is my heart. So just recently, I just did our first middle school curriculum. I have a middle school curriculum that's out with me, Rachel, and Dave, and about one out of every three middle schools have the curriculum now. So I'm excited because we're starting to see the schools are getting into it, but we got to do so much more. Mm-hmm. We got to do so much more.
You know, we're shocked that the public schools don't seem to be offering courses on personal finances.
Yeah.
And what a need to have. And even the curriculum that you were speaking of, it would be awesome to be able to see that.
It will be.
In school. I mean, you work, of course, in education, and so you understand the necessity from your own testimony and from, you know, you've got a four-year-old son.
A four-year-old
son. You want him to be able to know that.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're going to come back next week with Anthony and Lakeisha and really get under the hood of Lakeisha's financial situation. Anthony's going to walk her through some concrete steps that she can start taking now to finally start seeing financial freedom. If you or anyone you know is going through some financial trouble, they're having or living in debt, going from paycheck to paycheck, in next week's continuation, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, if you're feeling broke, busted, and disgusted, man, I'm telling you right now, it's time to get your whole life under control, man, and get your finances and everything where they need to be. God has brought you to this point today so that you can be free and live an abundant life. Yeah. I put some powerful twos together that I want you to get and listen very closely to, because, you know, where I take you step by step on how to get the life you want is going to be so very vital to what you can see in your future. So take advantage of these resources. My announcer will tell you how, and we'll be right back. Creflo Dollar, and welcome to part two of an in-depth discussion about getting out of debt. No matter how deep you're in, whether you're tens of thousands in debt, or you found yourself just one step away from living in your car, like my two guests today have experienced, Lakeisha and Anthony. Now, we're lifting the lid on a problem everyone can relate to. Next on part two of Your World.
Changing one life, time after time. Oh Lord, we do it all for you. Through the trials I see, I'll always believe a new life starts with you. Oh, changeable today. Change is gonna come your way. Change and get an understanding. His grace will.
Welcome back. Now, Anthony, as a result of the testing, the trial that you went through.
Yes, sir.
You've got this commitment to millennials.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about what you're doing and some of the encounters that you've had. Just really, what are you dealing with today? We heard you told us that your family never taught you anything about finances.
Right.
Would that be true with most millennials?
Absolutely. I think it's very true, and it's very common that we're not really teaching, not just millennials, but high school students. I have a huge heart for high school students. Currently, I'm serving on a speaker's team for Dave Ramsey. I'm traveling around the country in some college, in some high school, at a youth conference, or preaching on Sunday mornings for churches, really helping them teach young people about money. And the reason being is because before I joined the team, I served as an associate pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, at a mega church out there. Grew it from 25 to 2,000 students. And here's the thing, we just didn't focus just on godly principles. We also focus on money principles. And so I taught young people what is the difference between a credit card and a debit card, how to save, how to invest, because they're not getting it in school as they should. And some of them are not getting it at home. And so that is my heart. So
you got the money guy right here. Ask him some questions. What would you like to ask him?
Where do I start?
You know,
as far as the necessary steps to get the debt under control, wiped away.
Debt under control and wiped away.
Wiped away.
You know, that's a good question. And a lot of people ask me that. I'm going to give you the practical side because that's the money. That is the guru for the spiritual side. But the practical side, there are baby steps that I'm very big on. And the first one is I want you to set aside some money for an emergency. Because it's not about if an emergency is going to happen. It's about when an emergency is going to happen. So you know that. And you have a child.
Yeah.
And so your emergencies can come a little bit quicker because he can get sick. Something can happen. And so here's a good solid stat that the average American today can afford a $400 emergency. That's not going to be you. So I want you to set aside at least $1,000 for an emergency. The number two, I want you to get out of debt. I want you to line all your debt up from smallest to the largest, and I want you to start knocking that stuff off.
Okay.
Get very focused on it. Set aside some money for yourself, as far as for an emergency, then I want you to start knocking that debt off. Because once you get the debt knocked off, you're opening yourself up for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then three is I want you to set aside 3 to 6 months of your expenses. That's going to be like your fully funded emergency. Because, again, it's not about if, it's about when. And if something happens to you where you got to take off 3 months, you're going to be okay.
Right.
Because you already have some funds set aside. All right? And so those are the three main things that I really want you to focus on right now. Is set aside $1,000 for an emergency fund. And then two, pay off all of your debt. and then fully fund emergency for 3 to 6 months. And then we have like 4, 5, 6, and 7 that we do all at the same time. But those are the first three that I really want you to do. And when you do that, before you do that, I really want you to sit down, and I'm going to be willing to help this out with you. I'm going to sit down with you, and I'm going to show you how to budget. Do you know how to budget?
No.
Have you ever seen a budget form?
No.
Never have. Okay. Today you will.
Okay.
And you're going to get this knocked down, because this is very important, because the Bible says write the vision and make it plain. And so you need to write down on paper what you want to do, how you're going to do it, and that's important. So your vision, I have a vision statement on top of my budget. And so everything that I'm budgeting, for an example, I don't have a house because I'm not about to sit here and spend all my money and go get a mortgage payment. I believe that the one thing that I do finance, that I will finance, I don't finance anything else, just me personally, is a mortgage. I'm a finance for 15 years. I'm 32. I want to buy one when I turn 35. So I'm saving for that. And that's at the top of my vision statement. So I'm setting aside money on my budget form for that. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be very important, because once you learn this skill, when you start giving your son money for doing stuff around the house, you need to sit down when he's 6 years old and he can say money. Mm-hmm. You need to show him how to budget that money, mm-hmm, and put it on paper, because you're going to give him a habit that unfortunately you didn't have,
right,
at his age. Mm-hmm. But when he turns 18, as soon as he gets money, he already knows, okay, I need to add this in my budget. Mm-hmm. Give him that habit. So those are the main steps that I really want you to focus on now, is budgeting, write it down, and get yourself out of it.
And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right, right.
And to be persistent.
Yeah.
And to just be disciplined, to stay on target.
Yeah.
You'll see that target. And you can't, you're not even factoring in the supernatural injection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those things,
yeah,
that you don't expect.
Right.
Unexpected income, all those kind of things, mm-hmm, that are going to happen. When Nathan was talking, I was thinking about, it's a personal story with my grandmother and grandfather. And this was years ago, and both of them gone home to be with the Lord. But to show you how vicious debt is, debt is a spirit, it is vicious. And it wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. I went down to, they lived in Thomasville, Georgia. I went down to see them right around Christmas.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he says, I want you to go and eliminate their debt. Mm. Now, I didn't know why until I got there. Mm. When I got in the house, my grandmother, I called her Big Mama. She was sitting in the chair. Could hardly walk. Now she's got on a cane. And I'm like, what happened to Big Mama?
Wow.
Well, Granddaddy had a stroke. So he's in the hospital. Wow. I had no idea this was going on.
Wow.
And there was like a darkness over her, and even in the house. Mm. And the Lord said, tell him exactly what you're going to do. And I told him, I said, Big Mama, I said, I've come down here to pay off all your debts, including your house. I said, I'm going to pay your debts off.
Wow.
You know what happened? Big Mom sitting in the chair looked like she about to die. She jumped up, did a 360, and said, ooh, Big Mama feel like cooking now. I sat there, and Big Mama can cook. You understand what I'm saying? Big Mama almost killed us that weekend.
Yes, she, Lord.
Big Mama could cook, and I'm like, what was that?
Wow.
I said, Big Mama, I want you to put your best dress on.
Mm.
We're going to go down to the place tomorrow and pay your house off. We walked in there to pay the house off. You wouldn't believe what happened. I walked in. She said, I've kind of paid my house off. They said, you can't do that. They wanted to keep her in bondage.
Wow.
Debt
wow.
is like a slavery.
They
wanted to keep her in bondage. And I overheard. I said, what'd you say?
Wow.
I said, let me see you in your office right quick. Come in. I said, now, I've read your paperwork. You had nothing in the paperwork that said anything about she couldn't do an early payoff. So she is going to pay her house off. And I can't tell you the rest of the stuff, but they agreed with me. They agreed with me after a while. And I was amazed how the enemy wants to keep you in that kind of bondage because it's killing her.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
So from there, we went to the hospital to see my grandfather, who's lying in a bed.
Yeah.
He's not cooperating with
a
rehabilitation plan. He just want to do that. He's just, you know, in debt. He's thinking about the debt and all the kind of stuff that he's got to do.
Yeah.
Big Mama said, tell him what just happened.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And I whispered in his ear and I said, I just paid your house off. And so he didn't move much. He just moved his hands And I'm like, what you doing? He's looking for the little clicker that you call a nurse.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, I'm trying to call that young lady and get her to come on in here so we can go to work, because I got to get back home so I can sit on my debt-free porch. I saw for the first time that this is a demonic killer that wants to tear people down emotionally and physically and make them sick and wipe them out.
Right, right.
And I sat there, and the whole time I said, look at this. That it's not just, you know, debt, financial lack.
Right.
It's that financial lack and debt that impacts you emotionally, that impacts you with stress and releases cortisol all through your body, that brings about dis-ease, which eventually will become disease, to wipe you out.
Yeah.
And I declared war against the spirit of debt. Yeah. Now, in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't do this much, but I'm going to do it now. I curse the spirit of debt over your life right now in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of debt to release you right now in Jesus' name. And most of, you know, our audience and everything, we're talking about the practical.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talk about the practical. We talk about the spiritual. We talk about, you know, how it affects you emotionally. And that's why we're having this show today. That's why, you know, I am so excited about Anthony being here and sharing with us what he's gone through and what he's doing. This is an awesome ministry that is just as impactful as the healing ministry that Oral Roberts operated in.
Yes, sir.
Just as impactful as the ministry that Billy Graham operated in and people got saved.
Amen.
This is something that's needed in these last days. Set the captives free. That's what Jesus said.
Yes,
set the captives free.
Yes,
and that's what's happening right now. I want to take time while I got the both of you here.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm telling you, I believe that your encounter with Anthony, and Anthony, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, has agreed to coach her out of her situation. And here's what I believe. I mean, look at Anthony. You hear him talk. You see he's radical.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you just can't be careful. You need to be radical.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And I believe the next time we see her, some of him going to be rubbed off on her.
Please.
I really do believe it.
You just let me hang it.
I'm sorry. I
believe with all my heart that this is something I believe God wants to do. So I want to come to our audience here in the studio. Let's have a little short Q&A while I got everybody here on the couch with me. If you have any questions about this issue of debt and how to get out of it, if you'll stand up and go to the mic, we'll be glad to answer that. And Anthony will help me with this right now.
Yes, when you're in debt and there's a lot of, you know, vipers and predators out there with promises of we'll cancel your debt, you know, we'll consolidate your debt. A lot of companies out there, and they rip people off and they put them in further debt.
Absolutely.
So, you know, any recommendations on who and how to go to, what to go to avoid that?
Yeah.
Who do you go to so you don't get ripped off again by some shyster company?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would definitely, I won't say any actual solid names on the show, but I definitely want to encourage you to stay away from debt consolidation companies, because you are the person that's going to get rid of your debt. Okay. Once you really get gazelle intense and really get focused on your situation, and again, everything goes about putting it on paper. And me personally, the spiritual side of that is when you put it on paper, I pray over that every single day. All right. I look at my debt and I pray over it every single day when I was in debt. And then I didn't ask someone else to help me fix the problem that I put myself into. No, I fixed it myself. And it took me about 7 years, and it may take you that long. But stay encouraged, though, because once you build that momentum, once you pay off one debt and you add that to another, you get kind of excited because it's like, oh, I just knocked that off. I got that right there. Oh, I'm about to get you. I'm coming for you, bro. I'm coming. It's like you build that momentum and it will come, and use that to really get yourself out of debt. So stay away from that. Stay away from that, and you focus on yourself.
You know, I remember doing that. I wrote down my assets, liabilities, what I need to do. But on the top of,
I kept my bills. I put them in one place. I put them in a bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the top, I wrote a piece of paper, got a piece of paper and wrote debt free.
Yes, sir.
And every day I'd have to pass it and I speak to it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm debt free.
Yes, sir.
And then I'd see that, and I'd start with my credit cards.
Yeah.
And I'd pay one credit card off and then take the money that I would normally pay on that and combine it to take another one out,
yeah.
Take the money, then pay all the credit cards. Then I'd take all the money I was paying on credit cards, and then I'd apply that to the car note, and then
yeah.
Take the car note out. And then when you finish car note, take the credit card money and the car note money and apply it to the house.
Yeah.
And see, what some people do is they take the credit card money and they say, well, it's mine now.
Right, right, right.
And that's called hyperconsumption.
Yes, sir.
You found another assignment for that money that you got freed up instead of using it to pay off. And that's the commitment you have.
Yes, sir.
To dealing with the debt in your life.
Yes, sir.
So that's a great, great question. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
You said you use the 80-10-10. The 80 is for your bills, 10 is for tithe, and 10 is for yourself. In my case, my 80 is towards my bills, 10 my tithe, and 10 back to the bills. There's nothing else. So how do I do that?
This is about a decision right
here.
Everything I do in my life is going to be done with 80% of my income.
Yeah.
You have to make decisions on how you live determines if you can fit in that 80%.
Right.
What we're not recognizing is we choose to live this way,
mm-hmm.
but there's also another option. We can choose to live another way.
That's good.
You might not want to live that way, but in order to get it in under the 80%,
yeah.
that's a choice.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things we do, it's a choice.
Yes, sir.
You choose to live this way versus you choose to drive a Toyota or a Mercedes.
Exactly.
You choose to live in this neighborhood versus that neighborhood.
Exactly.
That's a choice.
That's a choice.
But if you're going to start, you're going to have to choose a lifestyle that fits 80%.
That's it.
It's not, well, what do you do next? No, you have to make another choice other than the one that's got you living within 90% of your means.
But there's nothing left, even if I wanted to. And I'm not complaining about it. I just thank God that my bills are taken care of. Tide has been taken care of. And outside of that, I know that my needs are being met, but I'm not living outside of my means.
But you're not paying yourself either.
So what do I need to do?
You have to rearrange your lifestyle.
Exactly. That's it.
You have to rearrange your life. You're trying to make this principle fit your lifestyle instead of your lifestyle to fit the principle.
That's it.
And you can't do that. I talk to people all the time who are not willing to rearrange their lifestyle to fit the principle.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, I don't know specifically. I don't know all the bills you have.
Right.
I don't know, you know, the debt that's in place, but I do know you don't try to make the principle fit your lifestyle because it won't.
Right.
The principle will work for you if you make the adjustments to adjust according to the principle.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have to make some decisions. I'm going to reduce from maybe a house to a townhouse. I'm going to reduce from this car to that car. I'm going to reduce. The principle will work if you work it, but if you persist to maintain this lifestyle and then say the principle doesn't work, well, obviously it doesn't because it doesn't fit. And so you have to make a decision. You know, I'm trying to think of my own personal life where I had to make a decision that if I'm going to live under this principle, I'm going to have to let this go and let this go and let this go. Now, when I let them go, I also use that money to pay off some debts.
Right.
And then I made sure that I am living. Here's what I'm making now. I'm now living within that 80%. I'm paying myself 10%. I'm tithing 10. See, if you do that, you're going to always have some money. It's not going to be I'm not going to have money. It's just I have to make an adjustment if I'm going to live this particular way. It's not a magic pill where we say 80, 10, 10, just where I am. For some people, you're going to have to make some decisions about your lifestyle that I can't shop here. I need to shop here.
Right.
I need to look at my grocery bills. I'm cutting my phone off. I'm cutting all that stuff. All that's got to go so I can position myself. And now I'm at the starting line, ready, set, go. Living within 80%, paying 10%, giving 10%. That's a good question.
And
want to add to that?
Yes, sir. I was going to say one practical thing that I'll look at is a stat that the average American, their mortgage or rent payment is about 41 to 59% of their net take-home pay. That, to me, is ridiculous. It needs to be, in my personal opinion, 25% of your take-home pay a month. So what does that mean? Like, for me, where there's a guy making the same amount of money as me, and he was saying the same thing as you, like, Anthony, I can't do all this. I can't do all this. So help me out. So when we sat down, his mortgage payment, let's say he was making $10,000 a month. His mortgage payment a month was $5,200. That's too much money.
Wow.
So what I tell young people all the time is make sure that your rent is at 25% or less. So what does that mean? It may not be the nicest thing that you have right now, but it's within your means, and that puts you back into that principle now. Mm-hmm. You can live within 80%. You just got to change the lifestyle and say, hey, listen, my rent is going to be this. My mortgage payment is going to be this. And I'm a debt-free guy. And so if you're only paying just your mortgage, you're living within that 80%. I'm living within 70, you know, so it's definitely possible. And I love what he's teaching there. That's great stuff. The principle shouldn't fit you. You need to fit the principle.
Yeah. Good question. Good question. Anybody else?
My question is, how do I start a conversation with my teenagers and how not to get into debt when they become an adult?
A good question. Oh, man, I'm pumped. I'm trying to control myself here.
Let it go, Andy.
No. Because that's something that I harp on parents. Like, hey, you have to start teaching them as soon as they can start walking. So not just teenagers, but even as kids. Because one thing with kids is more is caught than taught. Mm-hmm. So what they're seeing you're doing, they're going to catch it with their eyes and with their ears, and that's what they're going to apply. So if you tell them don't get the credit card, 9 times out of 10, they're going to get the credit card because you told them. But if you show them what you're doing, it's like on the first of the month, if you're budgeting, make sure that they see you budgeting. Make sure that they're in the kitchen or in the office, wherever you budget at, and show them, hey, this is what a budget looks like. Start showing them so they can catch it. And then also get kids to start writing down where they want to go. So I still travel around the country, and I have high school students hitting me up all the time. Anthony, I want to go to college debt-free. What do I need to do? Well, write that vision down. And every single day, young people love to say, I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman. Well, a grown man or a grown woman takes responsibility of their own life. What are you saving to go towards your own life? Or are you expecting your mom and dad to finance it? So when you start saying, stop saying, don't do this, and start showing them, okay, listen, I'm going to help you become this young man, young woman. Here are the principles. Start saving. Start budgeting. Start writing down your plan. Have a vision for your life. It starts getting them excited, because when they start feeling as if I'm a grown man, they're like, oh, mom, I got this. I'm going to pay for prom next year. I got this. I did this. And that's what young people want to be able to say is, I did it, not my mama. So give them that power. Have that conversation. But remember this, more is caught with young people than it is taught.
That's good. That's awesome.
Well, Lakeisha, let me ask you something. How do you feel right now?
Yeah.
I feel good. It's a step closer to becoming debt-free. Yeah. And I want to break the cycle so my son doesn't have to go through the same thing. So I feel
feeling empowered, right?
And so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you our class for free, and I'm going to send you a box load of stuff for your kids. And then also, not just that, I'm going to give you $1,000 for your emergency fund.
Thank you.
Okay? That's what I'm going to do. But here's the thing. You got to complete the class first, though. Okay. At the completion of the class, that's when you'll have that check. Because I just want to help you, because you have so much, and I believe with Dr. Dollar, there's so much inside of you that God wants to use, and I don't want the debt to be the stopping. I want you to get past that, and I'm going to sow into you and help you out.
Thank you.
All right.
That's awesome. Thank you, Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. If you're feeling broke, busted, and are disgusted at not having enough, then now is the time to get control of your life and finances. God has brought you to this point today so that you can be free and live an abundant life. Now, I've put some powerful tools together that I want you to get and listen to very closely, where I take you step by step on how to get to live the life that you want. take advantage of these resources. My announcer will tell you how. And we'll be right back. We'll see you on the next broadcast. See you then.